Earlier this week, I was on the campus of Blue Mountain College and ran across a colleague of mine in ministry named Roger Schock. Roger is the pastor of the First United Methodist Church in Corinth. And Roger and I, our friendship goes back for some over 20 years. He was once a minister in the Reformed tradition, a Presbyterian minister, and of that root of faith like many of us. But I do suspect that God will forgive him one day for changing denominations. No, I'm just kidding. I love our Methodist brothers and sisters. I think some of them will actually get to heaven too. No, I'm kidding again. I think they'll all get to heaven, as will all of us who profess and seek faith in Jesus Christ. Roger and I like to have fun and pick at each other. And about this time last year, his daughter was preparing to go and do mission work in a third world country. And I was fortunate to be able to sponsor her and provide some funds for that ministry. Manya and I were, and Roger updated me on her ministry a little bit this week when we visited. He shared his gratitude again for being a part of her mission work. And he said, "You know what, Jody? She witnessed her first miracle of healing over there this week." Now, that's not language we use in our mainline churches, us Methodists and Presbyterian folks, very often, right? He said, "You know, she witnessed a miracle, and they see them quite often over there in that third world church." He said, "It seems like we in our civilized churches over here in the United States at times just forget how much we need Jesus. It seems that those who are more desperate, are hungry, are in need of God's grace and have nothing else, physically, financially, or medically at their disposal, they hunger, it seems, in a way that we do not, to receive God's love, God's miracles, God's grace in their lives." Seems to be a connection, perhaps, to those scriptures that we referenced a bit last week where Jesus says, "If you believe, you will receive." There is a hunger, a surrender, when we empty ourselves, when we find ourselves, as we talked about in our Bible study this past week, when we find ourselves on the bottom where we can't look up. Dr. Howe spoke of his daddy teaching him in that way. When we get to the very depths of life at times, that's when God can give us the most restoration. And why is it, we wonder, why do we wait until we find ourselves hopelessly in need? We've tried everything else, so let's now surrender ourselves to God. Oh, how I resemble that statement so often. I want to fix it on my own. In the words of my friend and colleague in ministry, Roger Schock, I find myself at times living my faith so civilized and so structured that I forget to surrender it all to the Lord. It seems that the person who's at the center of our text today in our scripture reading, Bartimaeus, could relate to the spirit of faith of those people in the third world country as Roger's daughter's ministering to. He had nothing else. Do you hear the hunger? Do you hear the yearning in Bartimaeus' journey of faith? I can only imagine, can't you? The scripture tells us that Bartimaeus was waiting on the roadside as Jesus was leaving. Can't you just suspect that Bartimaeus had heard that Jesus was coming? He got up early in the morning, and he had someone to assist him since he couldn't see. He had someone to help Tracy just in a conspicuous place where he knew that Jesus would be passing by, and he waited there all day. And
and he heard the news that Jesus was coming. And he burst out, losing all dignity, I suppose, having a willingness to be shamed and maybe even embarrass himself. We don't like to be embarrassed, do we? Bartimaeus threw all that to the side. He was unconcerned what others might think. And when some of them said, be quiet, you're embarrassing yourself. Bartimaeus, be quiet. The Lord doesn't have time for your concern, Bartimaeus. Be quiet. We don't even know your name, blind beggar. Bartimaeus proclaims even more. Lord, Lord, my teacher, have mercy on me. You see the desperation and the plea for a child in need. Oh, what God can do, friends. When we find ourselves in the spirit of Bartimaeus, in surrender, in emptying ourselves of being able to solve our problem, and surrendering and yearning for God's grace to take over and make us into something more. We also shared in our Bible study this week, and I mentioned earlier Miss Ruth's granddaughter, Eden Thompson. We reflected upon Eden's journey recently and talked about how as a 2-year-old girl, she knows all of her medication, knows all of her doctors by name, the good doctors, the mean doctors, docs, the nice doctors. No, there's no such thing as a mean doctor, is there? Eden knows them by name. Knows how to take care of her health, what medication she must take with food and what she can't. She's quite a scholar of her medical needs at the ripe old age of 2 years old. We laughed and discussed her wisdom, her precociousness the other night, how she was wise beyond her age. And the truth is, for Eden, life's not hard. Life is just life. She doesn't know it any other way, right? That's all she knows is the challenges and health concerns that she's had since birth. That's all she knows, right? Sometimes in life, we find ourselves at turning points, kind of like Bartimaeus, where we did know life when it was better. Where it hadn't been a challenge from birth like Eden. Perhaps there are times in our journey when we, like Bartimaeus, at one time we could see and then we find ourselves blind. Yes. Perhaps physically. But maybe relationally. Or spiritually. Emotionally. Or physically. When life is good, like Bartimaeus, did you hear it? Bartimaeus could once see in his journey because his plea before Jesus was, Lord, let me see again. Restore to me what has been lost. Lord, I hunger for it. I yearn for my family to be put back together because we once could see, but now we cannot. Lord, I yearn for my health to be restored because I once could walk, but now I cannot. Lord, I yearn for my employment, for my financial security to be restored because now I don't have it. I once could see, but now I'm blind, I'm Bartimaeus. You see the yearning? When we have it, and then we lose it. Bartimaeus shows us the answer. Bartimaeus is an example for faith for all of us. When we search for restoration in our marriages, in our churches, in our businesses, in our schools, when we find ourselves lost, when we find ourselves in that circumstance of once we could see, and now we're blind, may we embody the call of Bartimaeus. Put our trust in the Lord of life. God can do what we cannot. That He can restore what only we can break. That He can open our eyes in every aspect of our life. To proclaim with passion and vigor the words of the old hymn, I once was blind. But now, I see again. You see, that's the story of much of our text today and much of our life. The story of Bartimaeus. The story of restoration. This afternoon, the Tennessee Titans will play football, and a young man named Bishop Sankey will probably take the field at some point along that journey. A few years ago, Bishop Sankey was playing football for the Washington Huskies in college. And he had a deep affection for his grandfather, Albert, and Albert had an affection for Bishop. And Albert went to every one of Bishop's football games. But although he had attended, he had never physically seen the game. You see, Albert had lost the sight in his left eye more than 30 years ago. And then about 5 years prior to Bishop going to college, he had also, as a result of glaucoma, lost the sight in his right eye. So he went to those games year after year, unable to see, but would just listen, would just hunger to hear the word that his grandson was coming by down the field, making a run. And then Albert would stand, losing all embarrassment, willing to make a fool of himself, and he would say, "That's my boy." He hungered to see and celebrate gifts of God's grace before him. Just a couple of years ago, Albert Sankey received a cornea implant. His vision that had been lost has since been restored. You know he's not missed a game since. He appreciates now what he has, what had been lost, and through God's grace, that's what he calls it, has been restored again. He said, I once was blind, but now I see. Friend, can we reflect today? Can we as people of faith, can we as the church look back upon the darknesses of our life? The times that God, our Lord and Savior, has grasped us by the hand. The times that Jesus has looked upon us as a blind beggar on the roadside and said, bring him to me. Bring her here. Take heart and go. The Lord is calling. You see, I celebrate the actions of Bartimaeus in this text today, but friends, most of all, this story, it's not to me a message about Bartimaeus as much as it is
a message of his Lord. Did you hear how our text began this morning? Our text began, and I'm going to read a portion of it again. It says to us that they came to Jericho, a great city, the ancient city, the oldest city in all the civilization of the first century world. It says that Jesus and his disciples and a large crowd, can't you see them all there? A great conglomeration of important people, dignitaries, city officials, all kind of important people of wealth and high office that Jesus could have impressed, that wanted to rub shoulders with Jesus, that wanted to spend time in the presence of the Lord. The crowd was great. That's how Mark sets it up. And then of all the things that happened that day or two that Jesus was in Jericho, Mark makes mention of none of them. So Mark says it this way. They came to Jericho, a large crowd along with Jesus, and as he was leaving, he came to Bartimaeus. See, it seems the most important event on that trip to Jericho, in the eyes of Mark and in the ministry of Jesus, wasn't all those people who Jesus could have impressed. It wasn't all the high dignitaries who had their lives together. No, the exchange that mattered the most to our Lord was meeting a person in need. A blind beggar, broken from the unfairness of the world, who cried out desperately, in need of restoration, surrendering his life to the Lord. He found hope. He found life and followed Jesus on the way to glory. May we be inspired by Bartimaeus, but most of all, may we celebrate the grace of our Lord, who claims us as his own and comes to us in our darkness, giving us light and restoring our vision here on this world and forever. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's respond now in faith as we